Good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to welcome you all. I hope you've all had a blessed week, and it's so nice to see you out this Sunday. If it's your first time joining us here at KWCF, whether it's in person or online, we just want to welcome you home. And if you were here last week, or if you weren't here last week, actually, you missed out on an awesome message by Pastor Ken, and it was about needing for us to recognize the true meaning of having the fear of the Lord in our hearts and how it's important for us to live our lives in that manner. And so if you did miss that message, I encourage you to go and check it out on YouTube. It was really good, and it'll move you in your life as well. So we are so happy in that sense that Pastor Ken is feeling much better. Amen. Let's hear it. It's an answer to everyone's prayers and for fasting, as we've been praying and fasting. You see the power that is in prayer and in fasting, and especially when we're praying over those that are in desperate need of God's help. And it's awesome to see Pastor Ken just feeling so much better, and we'll continue to pray. So in this moment, actually, that's a perfect opportunity for us to pray for Pastor Ken and for the message that we're going to receive today. Why don't we all bow our heads? Father God, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace, for your healing powers that you give us, Lord God. In this moment, we want to raise up Pastor Ken to you, who you know what he's been going through over the last year or so, and just the need that he has for your just healing touch in his life, Lord. We miss him desperately. We want his words spoken up here as well, Lord. It's encouraging to see him last week, Father, and we just ask that you continue to move within Pastor Ken, that you give him complete healing. Amen, Father God. And we thank you, Lord. Then we ask that you as well speak through me today. Untwist my tongue today, Lord God, and let your words come through. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So as you know, church, these past couple months, we've been in a series that is called Overcomer. And we actually spoke on a lot of big topics over this past couple months. We spoke on overcoming our past. We spoke on overcoming rejection, overcoming sin. We spoke on overcoming fear. Pastor David spoke on a great message the other week about overcoming fear. And the other week when I spoke on overcoming, we talked about overcoming anger, where we learned the differences between God's righteous anger and our own selfish anger. So today, as we close off this series in our final message, I want to speak on a message that has been really pressing on my heart, and that is overcoming the devil and how to stand strong against his attacks. Because let's face it, we are all attacked by the devil at one point or another in our lives. And I've mentioned this so many times in the Bible, how it teaches us that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy everything that God has created. And we see it from the early pages of Genesis right up to the final chapters of Revelations, how Scripture talks about this enemy that is always prowling and sneaking around. And the Apostle Peter actually warns us about him in 1 Peter 5:8-9, where he says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." We are not alone in these attacks from the devil, friends. And as we see from this family that's been going into Turkey over the past few years and now Cyprus, that there is attacks against fellow Christians throughout the world. And there's a lot. You have to remember that whereas one-third of the population is maybe Christian, the rest are all different belief systems. And so we are a minority in this world, right? So it is difficult, and we always need prayer in defense of these attacks from the devil. And so we tend to forget that the devil is behind a lot of these things, even though it's the government sometimes pushing people out or acting in this way, but it is actually the devil that is behind a lot of what's going on in the world today. The pain, the suffering, all the wars we see, this is fought by humans, but controlled by the devil. And we always tend to blame it on the free will of people. We blame it, I always do as well. It's a fallen world. We know that. We agree on that. but he is the one that is truly, truly behind it all. And if we aren't careful, we will start to blame the people around us instead for our circumstances. Instead of us recognizing that it is Satan, and it is really Satan, really is the one at the root of all of our problems. He's the one pulling the strings in this wave that I call the woke culture that's throughout our society today. Where once we were a God-fearing society, as Pastor Ken talked about last week, he mentioned it last week, now the devil is working even harder to pull us contrary to the ways of God. That is his goal. The devil is working literally overtime to get us to go with the flow of his twisted reality. As it swallows up every part of our society daily, we see it, we're a witness to it. He's not even hiding it anymore. He's really out in the open, right? It's the opposite of what our world was to what it's becoming. And just a few moments, all it takes is a few moments for us to spend in the media, on our phones, in the news outlets, and we are literally bombarded by the devil's propaganda and his advertisements. It's all meant to gain our attention and to get our submission to his narrative. Our world is quickly becoming increasingly dark and evil right before our very eyes. And so Satan is actually in an uproar because he knows that the end is near. He knows that the truth is coming out, and that everyone's recognizing what is the work of the devil in this world. He's especially throwing everything he can at God's people in order to discourage us and to get us off track and away from the word of God. He seems to be working a lot harder than he used to be, that's for sure. Some Christians, we see what's going on, and a lot just say, well, it's a sign of the times. It's coming. There's nothing you can do about it. And it is. It is a sign of the times. We preach about it. We speak about it all the time. It's in Scripture. Jesus clearly speaks of what is to come in the end of days and how it will completely affect our world. It's not something that's going to just pass us by. It's going to affect our world. And he speaks about it when the apostles asked him about what was to come in Matthew 24, verses 4 to 14. Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying that I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars, you'll hear of rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled by these things, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. All of these things are just the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all the nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, and they will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many is going to grow cold." And this sounds like a very bleak future for our world. And we see a lot of it happening right now. There's love that is disappearing. What we used to say before, your word was your bond. And now people just lie left and right. This sounds so bleak that we got to face this, especially for our children that are coming up. But the next two verses are the whole reason why we're here today. "But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as witnesses to all the nations, and then the end will come." We see this happening right now in this family that has come to speak to us today about their mission work in another country. The word of God is being spread throughout the world right now in this moment, to people that have never heard about the salvation of Jesus Christ. And it is our job to make that happen. And others, you know what? They're going to simply say, you know what? I'm just going to pray to God, you know, that he's going to help me out until the end. You know, without actually arming themselves for what's going on in the world today. They're just willing to put it up all to God. They're not willing to do anything about it. And others have simply resigned themselves to just accepting their fate and to give up. And that's sad, because we have God's word right in front of us. We have the way, the truth, and the light. And we have life through Jesus Christ. Therefore, the idea of us getting through life hoping that the devil isn't going to bother us is truly pointless. If you are an actual follower of Christ, he's already scheming and working against your life. Even if you don't see it, he's working to scheme and to ruin and destroy what you're working for. And I've said this many times before, I believe that for us to be able to overcome truly the devil's grasp on us and on this world, we need to transform our minds into a new way of thinking. Changing our mindset from this worldly view of these worldly treasures to one that is more eternal and one of a more spiritual perspective. Remember, friends, Jesus tells us in Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. That means everything that is in this book, everything that is written will never disappear, will never fade. When everything else around us is going to fade and crumble, his word will remain true. His words are truth, and they are the key to the transformation of our minds and of our hearts. If we want to be overcomers, and that's what God wants us to be, that's what we're called to be, then we need to change the way our brain works. We need to stop pursuing earthly treasures and acting in our old ways, the way we used to be. And we need to start focusing our minds on heavenly treasures, on eternal and spiritual things. We need to start focusing our mind on his word. Luckily, we have scripture to teach us how to change our mindset. I'm not just up here telling you, you need to change your mindset, and then I'm going to walk off of here. Scripture literally teaches us how to change our mindset, allowing us to live our lives righteously and not in a manner that's displeasing to God. The Apostle Paul writes in his letter to the church in Colossae in Colossians 3, 1 to 10. And he says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. He said, set your mind on things above, not on things on this earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That was the point of our baptisms. When we were baptized, and we spoke about this the other a few weeks back, when we talked about overcoming sin, there was a point. We died to our old selves. We died to our sin. And now our lives is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. Our old man that we need to put away was going to feel the wrath of God because of our obedience. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, and filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, as we see happening all over the world today. Since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. We have a new way of thinking in Christ Jesus. As the Apostle Paul said, we need to set our minds on things that are above, not on earthly things. And we need to change our way of thinking in this new knowledge that we have received through Christ Jesus. And we need to start acting as followers of Christ, not followers of this world. It doesn't mean that we're supposed to spend all of our time thinking about angels and demons and about that type of spiritual stuff. That's not what Paul is talking about here. And he's for sure not referring to these new age mystical spiritual experiences that is the big fad nowadays. This is not what Paul is talking about. See, Paul knows that our attitude and our perspective is formed by what we're thinking about, how we think, what's in our mind at the time. Paul is talking about becoming so God-centered in our thinking and so word-saturated by Scripture that it quite literally is pouring out of us like a living well. That is what Paul is talking about. Look at the connection that Paul makes between thinking and actually living out the Scripture when he writes in verse 5. He's saying, put to death. Put it back. Put it down. Therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, whatever you're used to in this world, put it down. When he speaks of sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is us coveting what is our neighbor's, this is idolatry. And he says to put it to death. Don't just think about it, do it. Get rid of it in your life and live a life free from these things. Friends, Scripture is telling us that what we think about literally influences our actions. Put off these wicked things from your minds, and we will act pleasing to God. And if you think about it, for me, if I think about chocolate all day long, which is not hard for me to do, trust me, you can ask my wife, I'm probably going to be hitting the candy bar aisle at the gas station before I get home. And my wife is sitting there laughing because she knows sometimes she'll get in my car. There's empty chocolate wrappers tucked away in the corner. But Paul's point is that once we come to Christ and we ask the Holy Spirit to live within us, we start to have a new way of thinking. We have a new purpose. We have a new outlook. We actually have a redeemed purpose. And I know I'm using chocolate as an example, but he's talking about sin, right? And sometimes even little things like that, if you're putting that ahead of God, can be sin, right? And so he's talking about whatever is causing you to stray from the Word of God. And without the Holy Spirit living within us, there's nothing we can do. So we have to start with the Holy Spirit. We have to pray that the Holy Spirit comes into our lives. And he gives us a new purpose, a new outlook, and as I said, a redeemed perspective. Paul was challenging believers in Colossae to evaluate their thinking. What are they putting into their heads? Their mindset. And to change their direction wherever it was needed. See, many of these believers were actually influenced by the first wave of Gnosticism. It was a form of mix between Christianity and esoteric knowledge. And this was heavily present in the first and second centuries. They were also influenced by legalistic Judaism, like the Pharisees. And some were even influenced by pagan mysticism. These are all still practiced today, every single one of these. All of these belief systems have a faulty view of God and salvation. Gnostics denied that the deity of Christ and claimed to have secret knowledge of the universe. The legalists promoted a work-based, self-righteous attitude. You had to come and prove that you are repentant. You have to come and sacrifice at the temple. You got to pay whatever fees they got there at the temple. These were all self-working ways of showing our righteousness. And the pagan religions, well, we don't come anywhere close to that. That's completely opposite of what we believe in. They believe in total idolatry, child sacrifice, nothing to do with our God whatsoever, nothing to do with the creator of the universe. But this is practiced today. Even in this world, how many child sacrifices are happening, the sex slavery that's happening throughout the world. These things that Paul is talking about are affecting us here today. From the letter's contents, it sounds as though they were being influenced very badly by this world that was taking over them. And they messed up the way they were thinking. It was producing pride within their church. It was producing slander, malice, greed, immorality, and impurity, which Paul literally addresses in his letter to that church. So Paul challenges them to overcome their temptations by changing their thinking. He says to set their minds on things above. I know that we're not pagan mysticisms. We're not involved in that. I know that. I know we're not guilty of legalistic theology. At least I hope we're not. I know there's lots of churches that are out there. So what do these verses mean for me and for you today? The point of this letter is that corrupt thinking still produces corruption. And a God-centered thinking produces godliness. That old saying that about what you put into your mind determines what comes out of your mouth is so true. Because if you feed your mind a bunch of garbage throughout the week, throughout the day, you're literally, that's all that's going to come out of your mouth or whatever you text on Facebook or on Twitter, it's going to be garbage. It's going to be nothing to do with Scripture, nothing to do with God, just the trials and the tribulations of the world that's going on today. That's what we're going to be preaching. And that's not what we're called to preach. That's why Scripture encourages us to store God's word in our hearts and to learn his laws as a protection against the devil and his temptations. Psalms 119, 11 to 12 says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, and teach me your statutes." And for me, that's what spiritual thinking or setting my mind on things above is, literally reading and learning Scripture. Because it's that's important, because it implants God's word deeply into our mind, gives us the knowledge of God, and it plants it deeply and rooted into our hearts, which is where transformation needs to begin. It starts in your heart and in your mind. And friends, when I have the word of God in my mind, I'm thinking godly thoughts. When I get cut off by the guy or get the bird flipped at me or whatever, I'm thinking godly thoughts. I'm not reciprocating that anger and that hatred and that worldly affection back to them. It's that simple. We can literally think God's thoughts by reading Scripture. And the more we do that, the more, I promise you, the more we are going to be transformed into the vessels God is calling us to be. When we spend time daily in the Gospels, it literally places Jesus' personality and his actions front and center of your eyes. You get rid of all that media stuff and you put the gospel of truth in front of you. And it causes us to think about him throughout the day. Like what he did when a needy person approached him. Did he shun him away? Did he say something to get out of my face? No, he took him in. He forgave him. He healed him. He helped him. It also tells us, you know, how he reacted when silly questions were asked by the apostles or even suggestions by them. Ones that you would normally be like, what? And God, Jesus literally had patience for those that were around him. The fact that the apostles watching Jesus so closely, then recording these actions of his and his miracles in the Gospels, allows me and you to know him more intimately than we could ever know anyone else. We get firsthand accounts of our Lord and Savior, and that's amazing. To me, that is the most amazing thing, that gift, that other than the salvation we get through Jesus, is that God left us his word and his manual for our lives. And so my attitude and my perspective is formed by my thinking, by what I'm putting in it. And it's causing me to follow God's will for my life. It's what brought me up here on this stage. It's what encourages me every week and every day to follow Christ. It's what I'm reading and putting into my heart and into my mind. And it's allowing me to conquer any obstacles that the devil throws at me, whether it's fear, whether it's rejection, whether it's anxiety, sin, whatever the devil has in store for us is defeated and squashed through the the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul challenges us to take every thought captive and to obey Christ Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 10, 4-5, he says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." They're not just there for you to have knowledge of him. It's literally there as a tool to bring down strongholds in your life. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Paul is basically saying we need to focus on Jesus Christ and God's words, because they are a weapon for our defense, friends. We're moving into dangerous territory and into dangerous times when we let the devil run wild in our lives. He's already running wild in this world, but if we let him run wild in our lives, we are moving into very dangerous territory. When our thoughts are not secure in Christ, we start to entertain the enemy's lies. And it allows for our thoughts to get the better of us. We start to allow fear, anxiety to begin to control us and to take control of our lives. And truth must be on our mind's fortress, the truth of the gospel, in order for our thoughts and for our emotions to be protected. Friends, that is why we're thinking God's thoughts literally when we read scripture. His words are written there. And by watching Jesus closely in the Gospels and by asking the Holy Spirit to take control of our thoughts and lives rather than letting the devil's lies take control of us. These are the keys in the transformation of our minds in Christ Jesus. It's all right here in Scripture. It's not a secret. It's not the secret. It's right here. You just got to be willing to open it up and read it and implant it into your hearts. Because setting our mind above doesn't come naturally. It's not easy. Because it's a spiritual way of thinking. And we're used to the earthly way of thinking, the easy way. That's why God doesn't leave us to fight the devil alone. He doesn't just tell us what to do. He shows us how to do it. And he sends us his Holy Spirit to live within us and to guard our hearts. And he also gives us another tool, another weapon, and it's a way to arm ourselves and defend our lives. The Apostle Paul writes about it in Ephesians 6, 10-18. I'm not going to have a lot of time to get into it. I really, one of these days, I'm going to do a whole sermon on this. But this is so important. And it's the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 6, 10-18. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to literally quench all the fiery darts with which the wicked one attacks you with." It says right in Scripture, when you have faith in Jesus Christ, whatever the devil is throwing at you, whatever he's putting in front of you, you are able to quench that. And it says, take the helmet of salvation, knowing that our mind is literally protected by the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that we are saved through him. It doesn't matter if the devil's in your head saying, oh, you're a sinner, you're going to hell, you sinned. It doesn't matter. When you're wearing the helmet of salvation in your life, the truth will always be there. It doesn't matter what the devil says. And it says here to also take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, Literally, it's what I've been talking about. It's a weapon that is given to us. Scripture and his word is literally a weapon given to us. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Brothers and sisters, the armor of God not only represents a defense against the devil, but is literally an offense that we must take in our spiritual lives in order to overcome the devil's attacks. It is so important that we do this because the devil seeks to infiltrate. He seeks to interfere with the gospel of truth and sabotage every aspect of our lives. But the peace that comes with the knowledge of God defends us against all spiritual attacks and allows us to overcome the lies of the devil. Paul is telling us to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, because this armor is not any ordinary armor. This is literally God's own armor he is giving us. This is not an armor like in David and Goliath, where they were given an armor that was too big. He couldn't even hold it. He couldn't even hold up the sword. This armor is going to fit you. And it's going to fit you like a glove, like you wouldn't understand. Because it is made, tailor-made for you by God. Amen. And we have this sword of the Spirit, which is literally the word of God. His word. And through it, he promises to defend us with it. We just need to know how to wield it. If you don't know how to use a sword and you go into a fight, what's going to happen? You're going to lose. But if you know how to wield the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word, it will always defend you. And so if we want to think God's thoughts instead of these worldly thoughts, then we need to learn his word. We need to carry that sword and know it well. We need to fill our minds with his way of thinking. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So today, my friends, I ask you to ask yourselves, what are you filling your mind with? And whose will are you following today? Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think and the way you act. And only then will you be able to truly, truly defeat the devil and his schemes for your life. Amen? Amen. Amen. So why don't we all stand up in agreement as we pray and close off this service? Father God, we thank you so much for your word and for your truth. We thank you so much that it is all written for us to learn and to understand, Lord. And I ask in this moment today that everybody in this room, in this congregation, everybody in your house here today learns that truth, that they can get so close to you and intimate with you and have a personal relationship with you when they dive into your word. And I ask, Lord, that you instill that word into our hearts, into our minds, that you engrave it into the tablets of our hearts, Lord. I pray that today, that as we go forth this week, that you bless each and every one that has heard your message, Lord, that you strengthen them, and that you put your word within them so that it flows out like a living well into others around them. We pray in the mighty and powerful of your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. And everybody said, amen.